So, our final batch, number four now, for myself and Teresa, although we've got a few more batches coming up with myself and Liz. So, my four stories coming up are Bully Boyfriend Headbutts, Punches and Strangles Partner, and Now He's in Jail, and Inside Stoke-on-Trent's new football hub, which is open after a £750,000 overhaul. And Teresa's got coming up.
I've got a family tribute as police treat death of beautiful Lauren, 22, as murder. And questions raised over £3.5 million refurb of Longton Police Station.
That sounds intriguing. So, Teresa's going to do the first story for you now.
All right. The grieving relatives have paid tribute to a beautiful 22-year-old found dead at a Staffordshire house, as detectives say they are treating her death as murder. The bodies of Lauren Evans and 24-year-old Daniel Duffield were found at the property on Hensford Alpine Drive. Staffordshire Police had previously confirmed that they were not looking for anyone else in connection with the double tragedy. But now senior officers say they're treating the death of Lauren, who dreamed of being a mental health nurse, as murder. Stoke-on-Trent Live previously reported how West Midlands Ambulance Service had been called to a concern for welfare at the address around 12:20 on June the 25th. Paramedics subsequently called in Staffordshire Police, who launched a murder investigation. It later emerged that Daniel of Cannock was a West Midlands Ambulance Service medic who appeared on Channel 4's 999 on the front line. Following their deaths, both the Staffordshire Force and South Wales Police made referrals to the Independent Office for Police Conduct, the IOPC, due to previous contact. Today, the family of Lauren of Bridgend have paid a moving tribute to her. It comes as detectives with Staffordshire Constabulary say they're treating death as murder, but not looking for any other party in connection with the tragedy. Her grieving family say she was loving, caring and thoughtful. In a tribute, they said, "On June the 25th, we tragically, prematurely and unnecessarily had our beautiful daughter Lauren taken from us at the tender age of 22. Lauren was truly beautiful inside and out and will forever be in our memories. She was adored by her parents, younger sister, grandparents, family and friends because she was a gorgeous, soft-natured, sweet girl whose smile would brighten even the darkest of days. Lauren's thoughtful, caring and loving nature made her endearing to so many during her short life, and she had so much more love to give and smiles to share with family and friends in the future. Lauren loved our family dog Poppy and her little puppy Millie, and with the two of them forming such a strong mutual bond in only the short time they sadly had together. Lauren achieved academic success and was soon to start a chosen career in mental health nursing, in which we know she would have excelled and been an attentive and caring nurse. A special person has been lost to so many who had the privilege to know her and to those who would have had the pleasure of meeting her in the future. We have lost a special daughter with her sister losing a loving companion and soulmate who wanted to share so many more experiences with Lauren. You were always loved, you will always be in our memories and by our side, and we will unconditionally love you forever, Lauren. We kindly request that the family's privacy is respected and we are allowed to grieve for our cherished Lauren in peace at this sad and traumatic time." Detective Inspector Louise Booker from the Force's Major Investigations Department said, "Following the launch of our investigation inquiries conducted by our Major Investigations team, we are treating Lauren's death as murder. We want to reassure the community we are not seeking any other party in connection with Lauren's death and continuing to build a file for Her Majesty's Coroner. I can't begin to imagine the pain that the families are feeling after this tragic incident, and our thoughts remain with the families of those affected." And I'm sure so are all of ours.
So my story for you now is Bully Boyfriend Headbutts, Punches and Strangles Partner, and Now He's in Jail. Dad, Thomas Mobb, strangled his partner in her own home, leaving her fearing for her life. The 34-year-old butted his victim, punched her and threw her around like a rag doll, and strangled her. and when he was bailed to keep away from her, he contacted her and went to her Cheadle Street. The violence erupted last November. Now Mobbs has been jailed for 27 months at Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court and handed a restraining order banning him from contacting the victim or going to Cheadle for the next 10 years. Prosecutor Alison Wally said that he headbutted her, he grabbed her and threw her around like a rag doll. He went to headbutt her again and he threw her on the sofa and started to strangle her. She felt sick and dizzy and believed she was going to die. The victim was left with swelling and bruising to one eye, a sore mouth and cuts to the chest. Mobbs later breached his bail conditions by sending her a Snapchat friend request, having a 5-minute call and visiting her street. In a victim statement, the woman said she was fearful for herself, her children and her family, and she does not want to see him again. She added she feels violated, humiliated and belittled. Mobbs of Hollyscroft Court, Upper Teen, pleaded guilty of charges of assault, occasioning actual bodily harm, intentional strangulation and harassment. Edmund Potts, mitigating, said Mobbs is filled with disgust and shame. He's lost a good job working in IT at a law firm and has struggled with addictions to alcohol and cocaine. Recorder Robert Smith said, "You lost your job, you spiraled into depression and engaged in unpleasant behaviour. You headbutted her, you placed your hands around her throat and strangled her. She believed she would die, and strangulation of a domestic partner is a despicable act. You behaved like a coward and a bully. You strangled her with 4 children in the house." So over to Teresa, who's going to do her last story now in batch number 4.
Right, so this is about Longton Police Station. The consultation process on plans to refurbish a police station and custody facility has been questioned by a community leader. More than £7 million is set to be invested in improvements to Longton Police Station and Staffordshire Police's Northern Area Custody Facility, known as NACF, in Etruria. Staffordshire's Police Area and Crime Commissioner Ben Adams has approved the awarding of the contract for the station refurbishment, as well as the business case for the NACF, so it can proceed to a competitive tender stage. The decisions were presented at the latest Police, Fire and Crime panel for consideration. The decision notices said, "The force has a requirement to comply with safe detention standards and maintenance of a facility is key to this. An independent survey was undertaken in 21/22 and found the site wanting in a number of areas. The investment into site will not only address concerns, but provide modern, fit-for-purpose facilities for the staff on site. Custody struggles to attract and retain staff due to the lack of facilities for on-site staff. The refurbished Longton facility will allow, in the medium term, for the closer integration of specialist teams such as CID and public protection with local policing teams. It will also create the space to host the City Command team within the city. The business case articulated the challenges of the current condition of the building, having seen minimal investment over the last 30 years. This has led to Longton being one of the least, this has led to Longton being one of our least preferenced sites for officers to work from, which the refurbishment will address." But Councillor Dave Robertson said, "In the NACF estates decision, it states that the consultation was undertaken with sergeants and custody detention officers, but no main scale officers. Are you entirely confident that conversation we've got is sufficient, having come from those senior, less public-facing officers? Leading on from that is the refurbishment of Longton Police Station. The preamble in the decision notice talks about how Longton is one of the stations we struggle to get people to want to work in, and we're suggesting this refurbishment will solve that. But none of the consultation in relation to that decision was undertaken with any officers, as far as I can see. Do you think that is a potential weakness, having not had the consultation from officers about that refurbishment?" Mr. Adams responded, "It's not something I am concerned about, but perhaps the paper isn't comprehensively making the case about that wider engagement. As you say, everyone needs to be involved in designing their workspaces. I know the estates team spend a considerable amount of time talking to everyone involved and advising, understanding where they might like to be located and the type of building they may want to work in. I'm aware for some years that have been conversations about this with people using the facilities in Longton, and there is a constant exchange of opinion with custody officers as well. The custody environment in particular is really quite high pressured, and just understanding the working conditions of the staff is really key. In both cases, there will be national demands, expectations and standards. I'm pleased with the investment in both. There is considerable amounts of money going into both. Longton is a piece of estate we see having a considerable future in the city. I think it's over £3 million we're investing there. A lot of it is about a working environment that directly supports the efforts of the front line, whether they are offender management or neighbourhood policing, with air conditioning, heating, working facilities and better lighting all part of the package. It's a bit like remembering to ask the woman how she'd actually like a kitchen, because she's got to work in it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
Oh, well, hope they sort it.
So many thanks for that. So my final story now is inside Stoke-on-Trent's new football hub, which is open after a £750,000 overhaul. And quite a nice story to end on. 12 jobs have been created after around £750,000 was spent on bringing back a football hub. Power League has opened up its second branch in the city in Sneed Green after taking on a five-a-side centre shut for around 4 years. As reported by Stoke-on-Trent Live, the firm has revamped the facility on the site of Sneed Green's Excel Academy after previous operator Goal Soccer Centres quit in 2020. The new Luke Power League Stoke Excel boasts 8 upgraded five-a-side pitches along with a new clubhouse, which has changing rooms and space for children's parties. The centre off Milton Road, which will also boast an FA-accredited floodlit 11-a-side 3G pitch, which will be converted into 4 7-a-side pitches when needed. On Wednesday, it held an official launch party with a community event where residents were invited to enjoy some free football. Power League, which also has a base at Trentham Lakes near Stoke City's Bet365 stadium, has 34 sites across the country. Christian Rose, who is Power League CEO, is delighted to see the continued growth in North Staffordshire. He said Power League's vision is to create more opportunities for people across the UK to experience the life-enhancing benefits that team sports can bring, and we're incredibly proud of the progress that we've made and quality of the facilities that we're delivering for the people of Sneed Green and Stoke-on-Trent. The investment in the site also marks a further development around the school. Back in the late 1990s, work started to completely transform the plot and create a new building with the one-time Holden Lane High School brought to the ground. So that's it now for batch number 4. Keep listening, because we'll have some more stories with myself and Liz coming up. And a many thanks to Teresa, who's been away for a while, and it's been nice to read.
Immensely.
And we'll have you back very, very soon.
Oh, thank you very much.
And speak soon. Bye.